Welcome to the Bleed Begin podcast, where we're all about helping pastors and ministry leaders find momentum through practical advice and inspirational stories. I'm your host, Josh Robry. And this season, we're focusing on something I'm really excited about, and that is Relaunching Sunday. It's all about helping churches relaunch and breathe fresh life into their ministries. Today, I have a fantastic guest, Jordan Joplin, who's here to talk about creating a culture of generosity. Jordan works with ministry and nonprofit leaders through his coaching company, Purpose Partners, helping them engage more effectively on the topic of giving. Because at the end of the day, it's about people, not finances. Jordan is passionate about seeing people become cheerful givers, accelerating the work we're called to accomplish and that the world greatly needs. So whether you're a pastor looking to relaunch your church or just someone interested in the intersection of faith and leadership, you're in the right place. Let's get into our conversation with Jordan and learn how we can believe again in the area of giving. Well, Jordan, I'm so glad to have you join me for our podcast episode. You know, we talk basically every day, so now we just get to share that conversation with a bunch of people. How are you doing today?
Doing great. So excited to be on. Thank you. And this is going to be a fun way for us to continue our daily text conversation.
Yeah, so I introduced Jordan and his expertise in the introduction, but he's also my best friend, best man at my wedding, my college roommate. And Jordan, any stories from college with me that you want to share? Might embarrass me a little bit.
I thought of a couple that I can't tell. So I did go through this thought exercise here, but I actually passed today the apartment when I moved off campus and Josh moved out of his dad's house and we got an apartment, you know, not too far from campus, but we were like going out into the world as adults and having our own, you know, place to take care of. And we were so excited that we had a little bitty patio in the back with a grill on it and some charcoal. And we were just, you know, becoming adults my sophomore year, I think your junior year of college. So lots of great memories, lots of great stories, lots of laughs, a lot of fun.
But you would think it'd be my junior year, but it's actually my second sophomore year.
I didn't say that. I didn't want to say that.
So, good times learning how to grill out there, being a man for the first time and ruining lots of ribeyes on that back patio.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm real glad to have you on the episode today talking about helping churches fundraise and create generosity within their church. And I'd like to start by asking you to share just your ministry journey leading up to where you are right now so people can kind of know your history.
Yeah, thanks. Well, Josh and I met at LSU, Louisiana State University, and he's talked about that on the podcast before. But I came down from Monroe, Louisiana, just a few hours north, and didn't really know what I wanted to do as far as a career in my life. I didn't know what God was really calling me to do. So I have some medical professionals, doctors. My mom is a nurse practitioner. So throughout my family, there's people in medicine. And for 2 years, that's what I was going after. I said, you know, I want to be a doctor. But I was really waiting on God to tell me what he wanted me to do. And when that time came, I had to really shift everything. And so that call to me was the calling to go into ministry as a career and as a vocation. And so changed everything in college and graduated, you know, on time. But got a degree in communication studies and all my biology and genetics and all that just became electives. And it's for 11 years after that, I pursued a career in full-time ministry, you know, working in the church, got an associate's degree in theology and worked at a church for 4.5 years in Baton Rouge, for 4 years in Baton Rouge. And then for 6 years, we lived in Bentonville, Arkansas, and I worked at a church there and had a great experience in those 10 years of ministry. And for the last couple of those years, I felt like God was really calling me to continue to have a mindset of ministry, but to not work as my job at a church. And there's a longer journey to that, but ultimately we decided to move back to Baton Rouge. We had 3 kids at the time and now we have 4, but we wanted to get back closer to family and that was all part of the decision. And so when I came to this job that I still have today working at LSU, the job's changed a little bit, but I still work at the LSU Foundation and do fundraising. I was really amazed by how similar the work is to ministry. And it really all just rises and falls on relationships and the quality of the relationships that I can develop and cultivate and build. That led to my success in ministry, and that leads to my success in fundraising for higher education.
Yeah, so much so that I've asked you to actually train our church planners in what you do, because there's a big fundraising component in church planning. And I know that's been very, very helpful to them. And now you're doing a lot of other things. You're working for the LSU Foundation and you're helping pastors. So can you tell me a little bit about what you're doing right now?
Yeah, the vast majority of my time, you know, other than being a dad of four kids and coaching baseball and all those fun things, the majority of my time I work at LSU and I do what's called major gifts fundraising. And so what we do is we look at donors to the university and kind of divide them up into groups based on their interests, based on the amount of money that they're giving, based on the level of relationship they want with the university. And so for donors that are able to give bigger amounts of money that want to be real strategic partners in their giving, we assign relationships, you know, assign people to maintain relationships with them. And so I maintain relationships with donors that can give money that's going to make a big difference for the university. And it's all academics. So it's scholarships, it's lab equipment, it's buildings. And because I know that those principles of relationships can also translate to ministry, I've decided a couple of years ago to open up a business called Purpose Partners. And with Purpose Partners, my goal is to take what may seem scary and uncertain and uncharted territory for pastors and nonprofit leaders, and to really just make it easy and bring it into terminology that they are comfortable and familiar with. And really, that's the terminology of relationships. So my goal through Purpose Partners, and I work with just kind of a select number of clients at a time. I work with one or two clients at a time and just walk them through what it looks like to build out a healthy pathway and a healthy culture of generosity in their church that's anchored on connecting people, connecting the giving that people are doing to what they are passionate about, what they care about.
Yeah, and I think that's something a lot of pastors need help with, you know, and I think we never want to put pressure on people. And I think money can sometimes be a touchy subject, but you have been able to help churches do that because it's what you're able to do. And I like that you focus on relationship because that's what it's all about. Yeah. In ministry as well, you know, building relationship and connecting people to the vision that you have. So, you know, Jordan, a lot of what you talk about is establishing a culture of generosity. So how can someone do that starting from day one?
Yeah, I think that with generosity, you know, I'm not going to go deep into this, but philanthropy in general is a real Western phenomenon. It's really something that kind of came as people prospered, as industry flourished, as economies developed, people began to have the means to actually give away money. And they began to, you know, of course, the church has been the anchor point throughout history of making the world around them a better place, whether it's orphanages or hospitals or schools. Those were started because of something that Jesus said that stuck in someone's mind. And they said, gosh, there's some kids here that don't know how to read, or they don't know about math or whatever it is. We should start a school. That's probably walking in Jesus's footsteps. That's what we should do. So throughout Western, you know, history, that's how philanthropy really developed. So I think that when we think of generosity and we think of creating a culture of generosity, we're really just taking the ministry of Jesus and we're applying it to everything we do. And we're not leaving out the conversations around money. Those conversations too, just like people are generous with their time. If you're starting a new church or starting a new ministry or nonprofit, you need volunteer hours. You need people that are willing to give their time. We say time, talent, treasure a lot in the church world. And when we talk about that treasure part of it, it's the same principles. You're asking someone to give something valuable, whether it's their time, their talent, or their treasure. So the culture that surrounds those things is not different for giving conversations around money. It's the same as giving time or talent.
Wow, amazing. So not everyone starts off on the right foot. Sometimes people can start to struggle in that area. So how do you approach the topic of generosity with churches that might be struggling financially? How can they re-engage with givers, you know, when they don't know how to address this topic?
Yeah, it really, in my opinion, it all starts with vision and mission and knowing and communicating what your core purpose is as a church. And of course, we have the Great Commission, we have the Great Commandment, but every church is really got a responsibility to develop that mission statement. And, you know, what is our place going to be in our community, in the world? What are we going to do to help bring people into God's kingdom? And the more that you can clarify that And the more that you can communicate that, and the more that you can share with people why this vision is so important. Why is it important that your church exists? Why is it, what's at stake if this church isn't successful? I think that's where you begin to get people really excited and interested and get buy-in. So if you start there, then you begin to be able to invite people. Hey, would you consider being a part of this? What do you think God might be telling you to do when you think about the vision of this church? Do you feel like you have a role to play? Do you feel like you have a place in this vision? Sharing the vision, inviting people to be a part of it. That's where I would start.
Yeah, I like that. I like asking people questions. I think sometimes, you know, it took me a long time to learn in ministry. I don't need to have all the answers. I need to have some good questions. And I think sometimes we put too much pressure on ourselves in different areas. And one of them being talking about money, that we need to be so convincing. We need to be able to articulate things this way and that way. But really, it's more about asking questions. And you know, I'm sure you've been in scenarios where you've asked the right questions and people have talked themselves into giving. Have you ever had an experience like that before?
Yeah. And even like not saying anything, you know, I recently worked with this couple, you know, and it's kind of funny when you have a husband and a wife and they're making a decision about giving. A lot of times one of them will feel more motivated than the other. And basically we were in the conversation and, you know, we had asked for a certain amount of money and it was a significant gift and it was a generous gift and it was going to make a big difference. It was also for a very strategic initiative that the university is trying to improve this part of the university. And when they were talking about it, I didn't even throw out the number. They said, how much did you ask us if we would give? And I said, well, you know, if y'all remember, and they kind of interrupted me and said, oh yeah, it was this amount. And then, so they brought it up. And then the wife said to the husband, she said, that's not enough. And he said, well, that's what I was thinking. And she said, well, we need to do more. And so I just listened, you know, I wasn't going to get involved in this at this moment. So by not saying anything, they actually doubled what we had asked them to give because they cared so much about the vision and the mission that just by listening, they actually talked themselves into giving more. And it's wonderful. I mean, they're going to make a big impact. They're going to be so excited about the outcomes of that gift that I know that I'm going to be able to deliver to them a great story to see the outcome. So just by asking, you know, would you consider something in the first place? And then just letting them go through the process of making a decision, it really just unfolded in the right way.
Well, I think that's a powerful lesson to people. You know, Amy and I were at a fundraiser on Friday. And so we have a friend here in town who the last 3 years has invited Amy and I to participate in these different charities. And, you know, we're just like a lizard in the king's palace at these things. You know, these people have deep pockets and we're just happy to be there. Well, she asked me to be the master of ceremonies at this one on Friday. And so it was a huge honor. I got to basically MC this function where we were raising money for the Eagles Foundation, which provides a college experience for kids with intellectual disabilities so they can achieve independent living and hopefully a place in the workplace. And Amy afterwards was talking about how it's so different from what the Bible teaches about giving because it's like all this pressure, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And to me, it's a lot of fun. So to me, the most entertaining part of the night is the fundraising part. Because it is pressure, but man, people are just, you know, they're reacting to it. So all over the place. And, you know, it raises a lot of money, does a lot of good. So I want to get to that too. But the other thing I've noticed is sometimes, like you said, one person's willing to give a lot more than the other. And for some of these bids where you're bidding for these vacations and things, like the wife's raising the paddle and the husband's like pulling her hand down, but it's too late. The paddle's up, you know, they're giving, you know, $15,000 or whatever. And he's like, what are you doing? And the other table will be the husband is like, man, that's a nice bottle of this, you know, this bourbon. I'm going to bid up for this. And the wife's like pulling his paddle down and it's just really, really funny. But like you said, what I noticed that night was that, the joy that people had knowing that they were making a difference. And I think, you know, that it was just some real emotional moments that night where people were honored and not even intended to be honored, but people like celebrating what people have done to help these kids. Yeah. And I think sometimes we get lost on that with giving. We're so afraid of the pressure that we're putting on people that we forget that we're actually giving them an opportunity to be part of something. So how do you phrase that up, Jordan, in a way where, like a church more specifically, you know, where we're giving you the opportunity to be a part of something, but it doesn't sound conceited. It doesn't sound greasing. It doesn't sound like there's a lot of pressure to it.
Yeah. The foundation of like that culture. So we got the vision and the mission that like drives the culture, but the overarching like atmosphere in that is, I think Philippians 4:17 is a great verse that summarizes it. And it says, it's not that I want to receive gifts from you, but I want you to have the good that comes from giving. And I think if our motivation is, I mean, it's just like anything else. If I'm a pastor and I'm helping somebody grow in discipleship and they learn that they love the Bible and they love to teach the Bible to somebody else, and I get to witness that grow and I helped them become better Bible teacher or, you know, whatever it is in ministry, it's that same type of feeling. Like, I'm not happy for me that I taught him something. I'm happy for him that he learned and grew in that way. So as a pastor, our heart has to be in that way. And I mean, I think it's just, we just have to constantly align our heart with God's as leaders, that we want to give the gift to someone. Even if we're asking for money, we are actually giving them something so valuable. And when they give a gift and they get to see the outcome of it, the goal is that they feel like they got the better end of the deal. You know, they gave thousands of dollars or hundreds or 10, whatever the amount is, they feel like, wow, that made a bigger impact than I thought that it would. I feel so blessed to have made that possible. And I think if pastors can help show the impact, like, look, when you gave this gift, you may not have realized it, but here's what we were able to do with it. Look at this new equipment. Look at this person that we hired. Look at the pictures of these students that we went and visited in these schools and did the ministry within these schools. Your gift made this possible. We probably wouldn't have been able to do it unless you guys would have helped us with this. So the more you can show people that, and the more that they can experience the joy that comes from giving, I think that you're really, the balance is right. The atmosphere is right for a culture of generosity.
Yeah. To me, it's like the real pressure is you delivering on what you tell them you're going to do, you know, because we know giving to the kingdom of God is, we should never. And I just hate it when pastors get this, you know, attitude towards giving that it's like, they got to be ashamed of, or they kind of hide it, or like, it's like, no, it's, if we're asking people to be a part of something, that's the greatest thing in the world. That's going to lead to eternal rewards for them, make a difference for people on earth. It's not the asking where the pressure should be. The pressure should be in delivering.
Yeah,
you know, that you actually do something well. And I think sometimes people have trouble, and I could be wrong about this, it's just my opinion, engaging with the givers in the church because they haven't done a good job delivering. And that's got to have an impact on things, don't you think?
Yeah. And I think that's where, and you talk a lot about this, but just storytelling and just communicating through story and the power of story. And of course, you're a writer, you understand this more than anybody. You have to be able to let people emotionally connect to what they do. They can't just give. Oh, well, there's a giving that's the level of obedience, but then there's the giving that comes at the level of like, it's passion. I care so much about this. And then beyond that, it's like they're a strategic partner in giving. But if they give and they do it out of obedience and they have no idea what kind of impact it has, they're going to do it out of obedience maybe, but they don't get to the benefit of knowing this changed someone's life, this benefited the kingdom. So yeah, telling stories and saying, look, here's one example of something that happened last week. Here's one example of what our church is going to do in the future. I think that when you capture those stories and you communicate those back to people, whether it's to the whole congregation or a group of leaders or just one individual, you really begin to connect with people in a special way.
Yeah. You know, I saw a meme that someone sent me the other day, said, Josh, we should start sending this to our ARC churches. And it was a church that had a non-tithers board, and it was like a cork board, and it listed all the people in the church that weren't tithing. And, you know, and like that mentality of like, oh, well, people should just give because God teaches to give. I'm like, man, come on, you know, like, let's be a little more creative than that. And, and I, like you said, I very much believe in the power of story. And, you know, sometimes I think, because I'm more intellectual than I am emotional, sometimes I feel like people think I'm bragging because I say I'm intellectual, when actually I feel like it's a deficit, you know, because most people are emotional. And so for me, it's like, you got to convince me up here in my mind, you know, that it's the right thing to do. And I will go forever. I'll be the Energizer Bunny. But, you know, I'll go on forever and ever. But most people aren't that way. They are built emotionally, and they are built to, well, there's something in our soul that's ingrained in our soul that connects with story. And so to not utilize that, I think, is a mistake. And so You don't have to put pressure on people. You don't have to just be mad at people because they're not giving because they're supposed to. Tell a story, you know? Yeah. And I think people see a big difference. So yeah. One of the most important things that you teach that I've gotten a lot out of that I think is going to help a lot of people is the generosity continuum. It's you know, and I don't want to say too much about it because I don't want to steal your thunder. So why don't you just tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Well, this is something that when I interviewed for this job at LSU, and it was the Lord that it worked out. And like, I've been here 7 years, so obviously it's been the right thing. But when I interviewed for this job, I read a book and it talked about the donor continuum. And immediately I thought, oh my goodness, this is like exactly what we do and should be doing in the church. But we just call it like, you know, the growth track, or we call it the growth process, or the discipleship continuum or something. So the concept is, you know, if in the church world, we might have like, you know, people that are in the community, you know, they're not connected. And then we have people in the congregation where maybe they come to church, but they're not committed. They don't serve, they don't lead. And then you have like the core, you know, that's your leaders that are really helping you. If you're launching a church, that's the ones that are coming to the pre-launch meetings. You have this continuum. And of course you want to bring as many people into the inner circles of the community as you can. The generosity continuum is the same concept. It's really, you've got outsiders, you've got participants, you've got owners. You want to bring people from the outside to the inside. You want them to be more and more, again, and at the center is the vision. It's the mission. It's what you're there to accomplish. You want to bring people in so that they're giving their gifts and talents and strengths, time, talent, treasure. They're making that mission more and more successful. So when we think of giving, we can start to look for things, and we, you know, we can get into a lot of detail here, but we basically can look at things like data on giving, data on attendance, data on, you know, event participation or group participation. And we can start to look and see, okay, who are my people that they're just coming? They're not really yet committed. They're just coming to check things out. And you might even have people beyond that, that they've never, let's talk about giving. They haven't given yet. Maybe they give their first gift. Okay, well, now they're giving a consistent amount, so they're starting to tithe. What can I do as a leader to help them see the impact of their giving so that they move further, closer to the center of the culture, of the mission? And then maybe they move a little bit further and they start giving out of passion. You know, they really care about what they're giving, and they're starting to see the impact of their giving. They're giving above and beyond what they feel like is just obedient giving. Well, then you've really started to partner with somebody. You've started to find an excitement and an energy. And the more and more people that are giving out of that motivation of passion, the more and more funding is coming in, the more and more ministry is taking place, and the more stories you can tell. And then, so you've got outsiders, you've got people that are participants, and then you've got owners. And what you really want for people at the core is you want them to see themselves as strategic partners in the success of the mission. And that's when you're going to people individually and you're talking to them when there's something that God puts on your heart as a leader, or, you know, you feel like is in the future for your organization. You're going to them and you're saying, look, I'm feeling like this is something that God might want us to do. Would you pray with me about this? I'm going to ask a few people to pray. Would you pray with me about this? If you have a place in this, I'd love to talk about that too. And then at some point you're asking them, hey, would you and your family, would y'all consider giving to make this vision a reality in this part of the church? So if you're launching a church, you're trying to find people that will give anything, but pretty quickly you want to try to bring them in. And the way that you bring them closer to the center is by showing the impact. And the more you can show impact and the more you can let them see that they're giving to something they care about is making that impact, the better off you're going to be and the more that you're going to find people moving forward on that generosity continuum.
Well, I think that's so helpful. And I know it's been helpful to a lot of church planners. It's been helpful for me to see that generosity continue and how to bring people from outsider to ownership. And Jordan, as we wrap up today, I just want to extend a huge thank you to you for joining us and sharing your valuable insights on creating a culture of generosity. Your expertise and passion for helping churches is truly, truly special. You're a man of character and integrity. I'm so glad to call you my friend. So thank you for joining me today.
Thanks so much, Josh. This has been great.
If you're a church leader or part of a nonprofit organization looking to foster a more generous community, I highly encourage you to reach out to Jordan. His coaching through Purpose Partners can provide you with the practical tools and confidence you need to engage your congregation and supporters in meaningful conversations about giving. So don't hesitate to contact Jordan at jordan.jopling, that's J-O-P-L-I-N-G, at gmail.com to take first steps towards transforming your culture of generosity. Before we close out today's episode, I also want to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Visit Planner. If you're looking to increase the number of first-time visitors to your church, Visit Planner is the solution you've been searching for. Their full-service platform combines targeted advertising with powerful engagement software to help you double your monthly first-time visitors. With Visit Planner, you'll receive fully managed digital advertising service tailored specifically to get new people in the door. But that's not all. They also provide software that allows you to connect with potential visitors digitally before they even step foot in your church. This includes a digital connection card, a website widget, automated texting and emails, and a tracking application to stay in touch with the people you reach through Visit Planner. So don't miss out on this opportunity to grow your church community. Schedule your free demo today at visitplanner.church and be sure to mention the Believe Again podcast. Let Visit Planner help you make a lasting impact in your community. And finally, if you're a pastor looking to breathe new life into your ministry, I may have a solution for you. I'm entering my fourth year as a consultant for churches, where I'm able to share my passion for helping leaders believe again in their ministries, helping churches relaunch using proven church planting principles. Whether you're looking to revitalize your congregation, reach new people, or simply navigate the complexities of ministry in today's world, I'm here to help. I believe that every church has the potential to make a significant impact, and I'd love the opportunity to work alongside you to make that happen. You can schedule a free coaching call with me by emailing josh@believeagain.co. Let's talk about how we can partner together and possibly help your ministry be all that it can be. I also want to thank you for tuning in to the Believe Again podcast. It's been a joy having you with us today, and I can't wait for you to join us again next time. Until then, keep leading and believing strong.